meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father, how are you?
Good. I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the endurance, and the kingdom we have in Christ Jesus. Or how does that go? I always take from the words of St. John as he opens the book of Revelation. I share your distress, the kingdom, and the endurance. The kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. That's it, yeah.
Why is it after all this time, there's moments, and maybe it's just because of the microphone, that you just forget things?
It's just life.
I guess.
And, you know, the fact that I'm not as young as you. No.
Not as young as you.
So, anyway, I just came down and I left everything that I, all my notes upstairs. Can you
imagine?
Speaking
of getting older.
Yeah. So, anyway, we will begin with prayer as we
yes.
do.
That's
a good thing. That'll get our minds. A thrilling Thursday. Okay.
I like
Nick
that.
Says,
thrilling Thursday.
A thrilling Thursday. TG, what do we say? TGA.
Sorry, it's not Friday.
No. Thank God it's thank TG.
Thank God it's Friday or no?
IAF. Thank God it's almost Friday.
Almost right.
Yeah. So anyway, let's pray.
Good.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls in the ocean of mercy, opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world, and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And so, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anyway, welcome everybody. It's good to have you with us. I'm going to, I left my notes upstairs, you know. Can you believe that? I just was,
Put them down.
Well, I put them down. I hope they're in the office. I get to get my head straight here. I hope they're in the office. But And so, as I mentioned the other day, I live up and down these stairs. my room literally is on the fourth floor, the third floor.
Right.
The second floor is my office, and the door right, and into chapel, yeah. And right off the chapel, the door to the church. So I don't have to go outside, and then I come right down the stairwell into the studio. So it's in one of those places, you know. They are, because I thought it was a very interesting, the very prophetic message of Pope Benedict in 1969, Cardinal Ratzinger. Really, really interesting. I wanted to talk about that, but I think since I have those upstairs, when we take the break, should we take the break, or just I'm going to read from this? You want me to do that? Okay, we're going to take a break. Feel like it's too soon to take a break.
It's good time for a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. I'll go up and get those, and then we'll be right back. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice of Chicagoland. WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and I see Nick's face because he's eating. No mask. He's
So that's how you get him to get that mask off.
I was going to the confessional yesterday, and the day before, and of course I wear the cassock, and I had the black mask on, and somebody said, "You look like Zorro." So, you know, I found this. I got this from Spirit Daily, and I thought it was really quite interesting, and it kind of confirms for me let's just go through it, okay? It kind of puts in perspective, you know, where we're at and where we may be going as a church. I think most of you listening know that we're passing through a diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down. To deny that would be, non-religious people.
Yeah.
I mentioned once before, and this was going back several years, more than several years, I had gone to the Treasure Island, which I don't think it doesn't even exist anymore.
It's gone. Yeah.
And it was like a Jewels and all that. And I walked in, and I was wearing the collar, and this woman came up to me, and she said, do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, no.
She said, why no?
And I said, well, yeah, why no? And she said, Do you think something is really, really wrong right now in the world? And I said, yeah.
Yes,
I do. And she said, do you think maybe we're coming to the end of time? And I said, she prefaced that by saying, I'm not a religious person. But she just, so the sincerity, you know, she had this great sincerity. And she just said, you know, do you think something is really awry in the world, or something's really, 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 really wrong? And I said, yeah, I really do. And she said, and really, in a sense, it's always been. And there's nothing new under the sun. But she asked whether if I thought we were coming to the end of time. And I said, you know, I really don't know. We're certainly coming toward, you know, as we're moving toward the end, Christ is moving toward us. But people are, we're in a strange place. It's one thing if the church projected that moral fortitude, that spiritual fortitude. But right now, not so. In fact, we've just been inundated with all the issues in the church and the problems and the politics and the scandals and all this. And I have to remind everybody that, you know, Jesus says you're never going to avoid scandal. It's always going to be there. And but he said, woe to those who cause a scandal. Better that a millstone be put around their neck, they'd be thrown in the sea and drowned, which is probably some of the hardest words Jesus spoke in the gospel. He spoke some pretty hard words, you know, and he didn't mean that literally, but he's just trying to emphasize the price to be paid for causing scandal and being unrepentant.
It is interesting when you say that, and I've heard that so much, and I think about Jesus' strong words, and I think how, and I actually wonder if it's easier to let people stay where they're at instead of preaching the high moral. You know what I'm saying? I wonder, even when I look at the church, if that's not what they're thinking. You know, again, I don't presume.
No, it's a good point, because I tell you, I want to go through this prediction. Mm-hmm. Pope Benedict, but this goes back to 1969 when he was a cardinal. When he was, I don't know if he was even cardinal at that point. He might have been archbishop. But to listen to this, and then it's interesting. I listened to the script from the plane trip that Pope Francis made from Slovakia back to Rome, and it gave me reading these back to back, it gave me a certain sense of what you're saying, I think, and that is, I guess about it, the question is, how do we navigate through this time, even with our own people, who are so very much affected? Did I mentioned the other day, didn't I? Or I meant to, that St. John Chrysostom, because it was his feast day on Monday, I think it was, because Tuesday was the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and then yesterday was the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And but St. John Chrysostom, in his writings, did I mention this on the radio? I don't remember. But he talked about people. Now this is, we're going back to the 4th century, and he was in his writings, he was speaking about how the Christians, the Catholics, which were the Christians, you know, how ignorant they were of the faith, that they can't tell you the characters in Scripture, or they can't tell you, you know, that this kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we weren't talking about this. This is very interesting.
Yeah, they can't tell you about the prophets. They don't know, you know, they can't name the prophets. They can't name the, but they can tell you about the horses and the drivers, which were, you know, the big sports stuff at that in that time.
It's funny you say this, because this is exactly how I've started to feel about even the things I believe, and the things how you might say, yes, we're all Catholic, but ask a Catholic, you know, how often you go to church? Oh, I don't need to go to church. Well, do you know the commandments? Can you say them?
Right.
No. Do you know the sacraments? No. And even how we talk about, you know, teaching the young and how generation has gone, and the church, I feel, doesn't do that as much.
So there's another point to that, which speaking to the entertainment today, you know. So anyway, there was this, and I don't know anybody out there these days. I have no idea. There was this hip hopper. Is it? Recently in the news, just the other day, a couple of days ago, she tweeted. What are they?
Tweeted.
See, I don't do any of this stuff. So, tweeted.
Tweeted.
Tweeted. Yeah. That her brother's cousin,
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, that's her. But he got the virus. Oh, no, he took the vaccine.
He took the vaccine.
Yes. He didn't get the virus. He took the vaccine.
Yeah.
And it made him impotent.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend then left him. They were preparing to get married.
Yeah.
So the mainstream media went wild over this, you know, and Hollywood types and all that. And they, I guess she's very, very obviously she's popular because this other woman who's on one of the media networks that I don't watch, but I saw a clipping of it. She said, "Hey, you know, sister," and they're both African American.
Right.
But she, using that kind of slang, which was kind of forcefully projected onto this this hip hopper, whoever it is, or you named
Nicki
her
Minaj.
Yes. And she said, "You know, you've got 22 million followers." She says, "I only have 2 million. You've got 22 million followers, sister." And she said, "You know, what are you doing? You know, the woman was reprimanded for, because all she said was, she cautioned everybody, pray before you take the vaccine, pray about it, and study it from different perspectives." I'm using my own words, but that's basically what the thing said. But I thought about that, 22 million followers. As opposed to this,
Have 2 million.
2 million, an anchor woman, but it tells you about the influence of the culture, the pop culture, or the radicalized secular culture we live in.
Dare I say, Christina used to always say, "Oh, I want to go home. I want to go home," and it used to bother me,
sure,
because I didn't want to see her go home. She was trying to say go home to heaven, but I honestly, at this point, just listening to what you said and many things, I'm feeling the same way.
Yeah, because it's as if we are fighting a losing battle.
Yeah,
you know, and so that really brings us right into this prediction or prophetic. I would say this prophetic. These prophetic words of Pope Benedict. This goes back to 1969 when he was Archbishop. Yeah. Bishop or Archbishop, you know. I don't know if he was Cardinal at that time. He was. He was already Cardinal. So 1969 radio interview in which then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict the 16th, he spoke about the future of the church in modern society. And this is what he said. Now listen, everybody, to what he says, because it's very interesting. And think about where we are right now and how this pertains to us. So we're going back 1969. That's, so we're going back, what, 40 years? 40, 60. Almost 50 years, maybe.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway.
Over 50 years.
50 years. So he says, "The future of the church can and will exude from those whose roots are deep and who live from the pure fullness of their faith. It will not exude from those who accommodate themselves merely to the passing moment, or from those who criticize others and assume that they themselves are infallible measuring rods. Nor will it exude from those who take the easier road, who sidestep the passion of faith, declaring false and obsolete tyrannies and legalistic all that makes demands upon them, that hurts them and compels them to sacrifice. To put this more positively, the future of the church would be reshaped by saints, by men and women whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, whose minds see more than others see because their minds embrace a wider reality." a kind of a cosmic reality, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. How does all this affect the problem we are examining? He asked rhetorically. He says, we have no need of a church that celebrates the cult of action in political prayers. It is utterly superfluous. How do you say it? Superfluous. Therefore, it will destroy itself. So the church of social activism, which was a great narrative at the time, I remember when I was in the seminary, my prayer is my work. Mm-hmm. My work is my prayer. So many religious communities, for instance, of the sisters where they had perpetual adoration, they were also actively involved in the apostolic mission of the church as teachers, as hospital workers, and all this. And they abandoned, for the most part, the schools and all that, and abandoned the adoration, perpetual adoration. So there was always somebody praying before the Blessed mm-hmm. Sacrament, and prayer was a vital part of their life, you know. And they abandoned that. Many of these communities abandoned that, and as a result, they've died or they're dying. And they got into psychology and social activism and all that, and went and got their PhDs and got really caught up in the whole feminist movement and all that. In fact, in his book, the Ratzinger Report. I remember reading that as a seminarian. And he describes that the people who were most harmed by the feminist movement of the time were religious women's religious communities, because they just infiltrated powerfully into those communities and destroyed those communities.
Wow.
And psychology too. I forgot the psychologist Rogers, I think his name was, but before he died, he confessed, admitted to the fact that he destroyed an entire congregation of religious sisters through his psychology. Because that was, and I remember those days, that psychology was the new God. And then it went, you know, psychology into social activism. There's nothing, just social justice is important, but you don't abandon prayer for social right. activism. In fact, as he says, it's counterproductive. So he says, we have no need of a church that celebrates the cult of action in political prayers. It is utterly superfluous. Therefore, it will destroy itself. It will destroy itself. And we'll see that happen, I'm certain. What will remain is the church of Jesus Christ, the church that believes in the God who has become man and promises us life beyond death. From the crisis of today, and he's speaking about 1969, from the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge, a church that has lost much. She will become small. She will have to start afresh, more or less from the beginning, the early apostolic times. It means the big talk of those who prophesy a church without God and without faith is all empty chatter. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. Think about that.
Wow.
As the number of her adherents diminishes, so it will lose many of her social privileges. In contrast to an earlier age, it will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision. As a small society, it will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. Undoubtedly, it will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians or pursue some profession. In many smaller congregations or in self-contained social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. Alongside this, full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly. Men whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day. What are some of the current slogans? First of all, let me go back to this. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. Think of all the dioceses and archdioceses in not only here, but everywhere.
Yeah.
The churches that are gone, gone. And it's not just demographic changes. It's the fact that, as I keep saying, we're living in this great apostasy, this going away. Some of the most beautiful churches in Europe have been turned into malls I've seen that. You know, I remember, I forgot where it was it in France or somewhere, maybe in Amsterdam, or Belgium, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I was in the piazza, and I saw this just unbelievably beautiful, these Gothic churches, you know, very beautiful. And it was making my way across the piazza, the plaza, to the church. And as I got there, as I was moving toward there, I saw they had this huge, huge, huge image or like a canvas photo of Madonna.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Or it was either Madonna. No, it wasn't Madonna. It was Marilyn Monroe.
Mm.
It was that famous image where she's, And so I thought, well, what is this doing in front of this beautiful church? But when I got in, it was a museum.
Wow.
It was a museum, and I didn't go into the museum, but right. They were, the thing that was interesting was I asked a woman when I walked through the door, and where they collect the tickets, you know, mm-hmm. And I said, what is this? And she said, this is a museum. We're honoring, or it was maybe how many years from the death of Marilyn Monroe. And so their feet, you know how they do at the museums.
Yeah.
And I said, well, was this a Catholic church? And she said, well, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
She said, I don't know. This is a young girl. Uh-huh. And indeed, it was a Catholic church. One of the most beautiful medieval churches, you know. And this is, then I saw somewhere a church that was had become a restaurant. It was it was one of the very popular restaurant and mall and restaurant.
Wow!
So I mean, this stuff is these things are happening all over.
And see, since you're in the United States, if you're not astute, you don't look outside of your own little neck of the woods. You don't see what happens in the world.
Well, we know what's going on in the Archdiocese of Chicago, for instance, they're closing churches or merging churches and all that. And this has been going on for some time. I mean, this already was starting during the time of Cardinal Bernardine,
mm-hmm.
but these past 5 years, it's a common occurrence, as the number of her adherents diminishes, so it will lose many of her social privileges. In contrast to an earlier age, it will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision as a small society. So it says before, it was like you were born into the church, you're a Catholic, you're baptized a Catholic, you know, and when society was... Chicago was a very Catholic city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you had it was cultural Catholicism, you know, you had your different ethnicities and all that, the Polish, the Italian, the German, the Irish, Italian, mm-hmm. did I say Italian?
Yeah.
You know, just as I say, you go down Noble Street and you had your Italians, you had your Germans, you had Maria Dolorata was Italian, St. Boniface was German, Holy Trinity was Polish, St. Stan's was Polish, different parts of Poland represented in the parishes. Then you had your Irish St. Patrick's over there, and Ascension. I forgot what Ascension was. It's no longer there. It's gone. It was taken down. Who would have thought, you know? You go through any of the anniversary books of the parishes, because that was a very big thing to do, you know. And you go back to the, you know, back, go back 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, because we've got them here. Mm-hmm. The yearbook for 100, the 100th anniversary, the 125th, we did the 150th, but the 75th, I'm sorry, the 25th, mm-hmm. 75th, 100th, we had 150 year celebration just a couple of years ago here. But you go back to the, even in the 1960s, and you know, the nuns and the priests and the people, the altar servers and the holy communicants and the confirmation students and the school classrooms were full. you know, people are identified by their parishes, right? And all that has completely radically changed, But in any case, just to go on here, see, he says, so the Pope Benedict, then Cardinal Ratzinger, 1969, said, "Men whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day." What are some of the current slogans? Let's see. His prophecy of a small church is readily interpreted as we see how many parishes have closed. We just talked about how many bishop mansions and rectories have been sold, or should be. Many convents, many religious houses. The Pope said at the time, he says, "This is not bad, the future. This is not bad, the future. It is a purification, a needed purification." Let's see, amazingly, this man, Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, who is considered one of the most foremost theologians in modern centuries, saw the purified church as one without all the theological hullabaloo currently so dominant in Christian chatter. Instead of discussing our faith, Ratzinger was saying, in a purified church, we will worship, we will live our faith, not analyze it. Instead of dissertations, lectures, and theses, and controversies, there will be prayer. The church will be a more pure, more spiritual church, not presuming upon a political mandate, flirting as little with the left as with the right. The politics will be that of Jesus. It will be following the disciples, not worldly figures. There will be humility. There will be obedience. This builds toward purity. As a small society, she will make much greater demands on the initiative of her individual members. Undoubtedly, she will find new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession, as I just said. In many smaller congregations or social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. Alongside this, the full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly. There will always be a need for full-time priesthood. That's something, you know, that Cardinal George said. I'll never forget this. He said, God will provide priests as the need is there. So if we talk about a shortage of priests, it's because we have the indifference.
Yeah.
People are indifferent to the faith, or they've left the faith. But in all the changes of which one might guess, the church will find its essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center: faith in the triune God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Spirit until the end of the world. In faith and prayer, she will again recognize the sacraments as the worship of God and not as a subject for liturgical scholarship. Many have strayed. It will be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the poor. The process will be all the more arduous for sectarian narrow-mindedness as well as pompous self-will will have to be shed. And the definition of sectarian means, you know, regards to a sect or schismatic or disruptor, zealot, partisan, atheist, separatist, skeptic, militant, bigot, a tone and message surprisingly similar to those of the current pontiff. One may predict that all of this will take place, will take time. When the trial of the sifting is passed, this purification, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. The trial of the sifting, he calls it the trial of the sifting. Men in church in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty. Then they will find the little flock of believers. This is my big thing I've been on ever since I was in the seminary, the Yanawim. They will find the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as an answer to which they have always been searching in secret. And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing a very hard time, very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. This is in 1969. We will have to count on terrific upheavals, but I am equally certain about what will remain at the end, not the church of a political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. She may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but it will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death. The church will be a place of solace. You know, it's interesting because I truly believe that, you know, what's happened here, what we're trying to build on here, is the very thing he's speaking about. You know, that when the Blessed Mother said, you know, make me, give me the church, give me the parish, make me mother and queen of the parish, it's really, really rather simple. And I knew it from the beginning. I just didn't know how or where we're going to go with this. But, you know, we talked about this the other day. We come into this, enter into this collective discernment. And it's, you know, simply open the doors. Open the doors. The cacophony, the rude noise of the world will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. So, in other words, we have to be... It has to be spiritual. It has to be, and by spiritual I mean Christocentric. We have to be centered in Christ. I thought it was interesting. In 1969, he talks about the you know, no dissertations, no, you know, theological. I mean, that's always going to be there, you know, but there's going to be this this hunger. This hunger will develop, and I think it's there. Certainly, I see it among the young people, not the majority, but we've got a group, a pretty large group over here. They're spiritually starving. They want to be fed. They want what's happened. As many would, I think, attest to this reality, is that we've become so horizontal, you know, so man-centered, and this is where you get into this whole social activism and. And it gets very politicized and all that, and people want, they're looking for the transcendent, they're looking for the mystery, the mysticism of the church, and that's where I when he talks about the worship of God, the sacraments, and it's for this reason that I say quite honestly, from my own experience, and I think from the experience of many, I think you would attest to this. Our changing to, we do the Novus Ordo, we do the Mass that was promulgated after the Second Vatican Council, but we're not, but we, what we did return to the liturgy, return to Mass, was the altar rail, kneeling for Holy Communion ad orientem, where the priest is facing, as was done up until up to the Vatican Council. As one of the bishops said, that the priest facing the people is a novelty. It's something new. But even when we talk from an ecumenical point of view, with the East, the Church of the East, this is the Church of the Big C, Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, Eastern Rites that are within the Catholic, within the Latin Rite. But from an ecumenical point of view, it's returning to that posture where the priest is facing not the people, but his prayers directed to God in and through Jesus Christ, to God the Father. I always say, you know, that when we go to Mass, and I hope everybody remembers this and thinks about this, it's a sacred drama. There's one spectator, and that's God the Father. Everybody else participates in this sacred drama. It's not theater, but it's a sacred drama. We call it, life is a drama, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is a sacred drama, the sacred adventure. And the only spectator in this drama, this sacred drama, is God the Father. Everybody else, we're all characters in the story, the mystical body of Christ. We've got the present there, the angels and the saints and the Holy Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we, the pilgrim people, in the battle, the souls in purgatory. But we who are in the battle, we are who in the exile. The kingdom is come, but it's not fully realized, so we're going to be in this conflict, in this battle against the powers and the principalities, which is purely biblical teaching. But the principal character, the only spectator is God the Father, but the principal character is Jesus Christ, offered on the altar of sacrifice, the perpetuation, the renewal, the representation of Calvary, our redemption, our salvation. He died once and for all to save us from our slavery to sin and death, yet we still sin and we've yet to die. And so that the fountain of the divine mercy, that single salvific, sanctifying act, redemptive act, is not repeated as Protestants would accuse of repeating what's already been done. No, it's the fount of divine mercy. It's a perpetuation. It's the blood and water in a perpetual way flowing from the life of Christ on the altar, a sacrifice. And we go to Mass in gratitude for salvation and redemption to then, as St. Paul said, renew our covenant with the Lord in the offering of our lives, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. So when we talk about the Holy Mass, Mass means mission, missio, mission. We're people with a mission. What is that mission? But to know God, to love God, and to serve God, to be able to say with St. Paul, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. When we return to that proper understanding of the liturgy, the sacred liturgy, the Holy Mass, as a sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that we enter into, that sacrifice, because our life is to be lived in a sacrificial way. Our love is to be sacrificial, and because that's our mission, to bring Christ into this world, to bring his light into the darkness. And the dark is getting darker and darker and darker, but this, no matter how dark that dark gets, this Anawim, this little flock, those who understand that the church is not a club, not a social gathering, but it's the worship of Almighty God, the giving of ourselves to God, God who feeds us with himself in order to reproduce his life in us, then, you know, people will begin to see our witness, and because of their own impoverished, their loneliness, they're impoverished. Their spiritual will bring them. You know, they'll be searching for that. You know, something. You know, bring me from the abyss of darkness, or the abyss of loneliness, or the abyss of confusion, or this and everything we see going on in the society today, in the world today, with all these what appears to be. It feels like we're no longer in a free nation. We have to whisper. We're in the underground. We're really in the underground. You know. So anyway, we're going to take a break since Nick is back. I was ready to take the break, and he disappeared. So I'm not going to take blame for this time. But we will take a break, and let's see. I am Father Anthony on Winds of Change, on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice of Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, AWNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stan's LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys, you know, I should just say the two Tonys. Speaking of the school, I was there yesterday for their lunch. It was so nice. I tell you, if you feel down or you feel like you're, you know, you just got to
be around
those kids. And
yeah.
I go to the lunch because they're not wearing the masks, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll serve them the milk and because they have to go through the line,
right.
And I said, okay,
chocolate
or white or whatever. I told you that before, right?
Yeah.
I said, strawberry or?
Strawberry?
No. Oh, no. We've only got chocolate and white milk. And then I walk around and especially these little kids, they're so funny and they're so cute. And they had some of them don't buy the lunch. Others, their mothers bring them. A child from India had Indian food. I said, oh, that sounds, it makes me really hungry because I like Indian food. But they had bananas. They get a banana or an apple, the kids.
Wow.
And so some of the kids get there. They don't know how to open the mm-hmm. banana, so I help them open the banana. This one girl had the banana was there, but it was all rotten. You know how those?
Yeah.
So I said, and she didn't eat it. And I said, do you want another banana? And she said, yeah, I do. So I'll get you a nice banana, you know. But they're great. And it really an uplift. But anyway, going back, we're really almost at the end of the show. It's hard to believe this hour's gone pretty fast. But I wanted to, and this wasn't actually what the Pope was saying on the plane. This is, but it goes back to what you were saying mm-hmm. initially, Tony, about the, is because we're trying to understand what's going on in the church right now, too. And, you know, I could be the culprit here, but I often say, you know, we're not here to befriend the world. Well, we're not because we're not going to befriend the world. But we do have to give witness, and we have to be in dialogue. We have to be, but we don't compromise. We don't compromise. We cannot. And so those who do those who think they can compromise or adapt to the world, that somehow we're going to make ourselves lovable. No, if we try to do that, we're going to end up with a church with a poster of Marilyn Monroe.
It always comes to my mind, and I think about a teacher I had in Holy Trinity. He was a stern, no nonsense, no sugarcoating the truth. And I remember that teacher to this day, years later, only because he gave me the full, you know, respect, or he gave me the full teaching. He didn't hold anything back. And I think about how people tend to, and I know this, I mean, like you, sometimes I'm at work in meetings, and will we think how we're going to sugarcoat something, and we're going to accept certain things only because we expect a better outcome. And it never works that way.
No, it doesn't. And what has to be done, and this is something that he did say on the plane, the Pope, about mm-hmm. abortion as being murder. Right. And he was very, very, very pointed about that. At the same time, I think I read it really quick, but we know from a pastoral point of view, and this was an issue, you know, we had at one point where somebody felt that I wasn't strong enough on the issue of abortion. I speak often about abortion. I speak about the atrocity, the evil, the extermination, the kind of genocide. At the same time, so there's no watering that down.
Right.
But at the same time, from a pastoral point of view, I know, and I say this often from the pulpit when I want to get really strong about something, mm-hmm. we've all been affected by this world we live in. And it goes to the point of Pope Benedict, you know, there will come a point where people will be impoverished. They're going to be lonely. They're going to find themselves in need of redemption, in need of salvation, freedom. They want peace, inner peace. And so I know that in speaking about this, we don't water down the truth,
right.
but we have to exercise the virtue of prudence insofar as you're dealing with people who have been so affected by the society we live in. And I say innocently affected, victimized. You know, we're either perpetrators or victims, or we're probably both. But so they, you know, made a bad decision, a wrong decision, a very hard decision, and now they're suffering the consequences. And if I come across as one who is condemning the individual without, you know, in other words, we condemn the act, but we have to be, as Jesus said, the church is, he comes not for the saint, but for the sinner,
right.
not for the righteous, but for the, not for the unrighteous, but for the righteous. Or what is it? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Not for this. Oh no, not for the healthy, but for the sick.
The sick, yeah.
Not for the saint, but for the sinner. And that, who are the sinners and who are the sick? That's all of us. And so you don't. It's not to placate or to keep people in ignorance or no. We have to, in a pastoral way, we've got to minister to the people.
Right.
We've got to bring the what is the greatest attribute of Jesus Christ is his mercy. Love and truth and charity,
mm-hmm.
mercy. People have to hear the truth. Today, more than ever, we have to hear the truth in a very strong way. People have to know what it is we believe, what it is we teach, what is a moral fiber of our faith. And it's all grounded in the Ten Commandments. You can't get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're speaking to people who have been deeply affected, marriages that are broken. Tomorrow we'll come back to this, what he said in Slovakia with regards to Our Lady of Compassion, Our Lady of Sorrows, because it relates to mm-hmm. what Pope Cardinal Ratzinger said. But you see, the point I'm making is that, yeah, it's how do we navigate through this at a time where people can hear the message, when they're in need of the message of, you know, you're not condemned, you're not damned, you're not, no, we want to bring you, you know, we want to bring you back. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or maybe they know what they did, but there's still the possibility of redemption, repentance. Mm-hmm. The gospel message,
conversion,
repent, be set free, you know. So yeah, we'll come back to this tomorrow.
Yeah.
But by no way do we water down or accommodate the world. No, we have to hold firm in the truth. All right, everybody. Sorry, it's going too fast. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.